Welcome to the IT Experience Podcast. This is a podcast for those who are interested in IT experience management in large enterprises. If you use ServiceNow or other enterprise service management system to provide services to employees, then this is for you. Brought to you by Happy Signals, more smiles, less time wasted. Welcome back. In this episode, Sakari interviews Matthew Burrows from SkillsTX, who has been doing skills assessment and skills management consulting for many, many years. So Sakari, tell a little bit about this interview we are about to hear.
So I first heard Matthew on the Digital Enterprise podcast with Barclay Rayani and Aitkinson and was really intrigued. So I reached out to Matthew and wondered if he would join us on this podcast. And in this episode, we talk a lot about digital skills for individuals, organizations, and then beyond that, but what are actually skills? And this is where Matthew's insights are really valuable. And one of the couple of things that can take away from this episode is that skills are action-based. Having knowledge of an area does not mean that the skills are actually acquired. And the second thing was that IT skills are not only technical, but include very human aspects as well. And maybe one thing is that what really impressed me is that Matthew has a really deep expertise and understanding of how this can be applied in practice for organizations to use the skills that they already have, but also understand what skills they have but are not using for the organization's benefit. Sounds complicated? Matthew explains it much better.
Yeah, I think this was like a really good interview and I really enjoyed this. And I'm pretty sure our listeners will do so as well. So shall we get to it and hear what Matthew has to say?
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing today?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Thanks for inviting me to talk to you.
Shall we ask a little bit, start the podcast by, if you want to introduce yourself and what you do for a living?
Sure, yes. Matthew Burrows. I'm a SOFIA accredited consultant, assessor and trainer. SOFIA, people might not have heard of, but it's the skills framework for the information age. So that really means my focus is on people, skills and competencies. But my background's program, project, portfolio management and service management as well. So I've done various things, including I was the president of the Institute of Service Management and have served on various boards and authoring groups and all of those sorts of things. But I spend my time helping organizations and governments around the world get better at managing people and skills from a digital IT technology related perspective.
That's a really interesting part because in our previous conversations that we had prior to recording, we speaked about how skills are action-based. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that means, that skills are action-based, and what other types of assessments are there out there?
Yeah, sure. We have a bit of a challenge in our industry sometimes in that there's too much reliance on knowledge and certifications that only prove someone's knowledge and their theoretical understanding. And actually, what's really important is, yes, the knowledge is important, but you've got to have the opportunity to put that knowledge into practice in a working environment in order to develop a skill, to become proficient in actually doing something using that knowledge. So the definition of skill is one that sometimes people struggle with. You don't have a skill just from studying and learning the theory. You have it from applying that theory, practicing it several times over, becoming proficient in a skill. And if you do it enough, you can go even beyond proficiency and you can get to full professional competency where you've done it so many times that you've got nothing more to learn in that skill at that level and your focus is in other skills or that skill at a higher level. So, yeah, it is all about what you can do, not just what you know. And that's really quite important for our industry because we've missed that somewhere along the way.
Do you have any examples or metaphors that would explain what it actually means?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we joke about it a bit in the service management world. You know, we talk about people that have gone on an ITIL foundation training course And then they go back to their organization having passed that training. And the boss says to them, great, you've done your ITIL training. You're now in charge of our implementation of our service management system and our processes. You know, that's a little like, you know, I think I've used this example before, but trusting your child behind the wheel of the family car with packed with all of your loved ones, all of your family in the car, and you send them off on a long journey when your teenage child has perhaps only passed the theory exam, or they've got 10 hours of experience driving Forza on their PlayStation or whatever it might be. You just wouldn't do it. And yet we do put people into those difficult situations where they just have the theory, and we don't always compensate for that by backing them up, perhaps with somebody to mentor and coach them or to supervise them or to mitigate that risk while they're building their proficiency.
It's quite interesting because I did the Sophia self-assessment test prior to this interview. And one of the questions that I asked myself was, well, how do I actually evaluate? There was the evaluation between, do I have knowledge of this or is it something more? So how would you sort of look at this sort of the actual skill and knowledge of a skill? Like, when do you cross that bridge? Is it really about the practice?
Well, the good thing is that actually all of these terms are defined for us. So there's actually some ISO, some international standards that define the difference between knowledge, skill, proficiency, and competency. And we use those. So effectively, knowledge, you know how to do something, you understand it, and you could explain how something happens. Skill proficiency is you can do that and you have done it, and you've performed the activity that the Sophia framework is describing for that skill, and you achieve successful results, but you've still got a little bit of room before you've fully mastered that skill at that level. So that's skill proficiency. And competency is really full professional competency. So significant professional experience of doing 85% or more of what Sophia's describing in a real working environment, current, up-to-date, fully developed, no further development required at the moment in that skill. You can do it with your eyes closed and your hand, one hand tied behind your back. You know, it's that full achievement of it. So it's not a binary yes or no. You need these different types of experience so that you can see where people's development needs are.
And development needs might be a little bit different in IT today than they have been in the past. And how do you see the changing environment? We have seen many big changes in the last few years. So how do you tackle that problematic or that change within the Sophia framework and your advice to companies that are trying to apply it?
Yeah, it's certainly true that we're experiencing a more rapid rate of change than we ever have done before. If you'd written a job description 10 or 15 years ago, you could be fairly certain that it would remain static and stable and for perhaps 3, 4, 5 years. Nowadays, that's not the case. You know, the jobs, the roles change on a regular basis. The requirements we need in a job or role change, as well as our individual skills, change quite rapidly as well, because there's agile type approaches, there are projects, there are tasks, there are sprints, there are all of these different needs for people with the right level of skills in order to do a particular activity. So that means that you need a way of capturing two sets of data. What skills do we have and what skills do we need? But recognizing that both of those sets of data change on a regular basis. So you've got to give people the ability to update those really easily. So you've always got a current view of what skills you have and a current view of what skills you need, so that you can compare them, see the gaps, use it for allocating the right people to the right tasks.
So if you're looking at the skills that we have, so you hired people based on a specific and job description and a role description. Mm-hmm. And now the IT organization have all these people in the organization, I understand that Sophia actually has a way of both understanding what people do today, but also what they might want to do in the future, which might give you then the ability to see, hey, maybe we already have that resource in-house.
Yeah, and this is probably one of the most important points around how we assess, because traditionally people have often taken the job description and said to someone, hi, here's your job description. This explains what skills you need. Please tell me honestly which skills you have from this list. Now, that is still the default that people think is a good approach, and it isn't. And I'll tell you why, for a couple of reasons. First is that even the most honest person will feel psychological pressure to fit themselves into that role profile. So you are guaranteed that you will get skewed data. Even the most honest person, you'll get skewed data. So skewed data, not very useful. The second thing is you're only getting partial data because you're only finding out about the skills that are listed in that current job description. So let's say you've got a problem manager job description and it requires various skills, including problem management, say at level 3. You decide to do an improvement next month, which means that you want your problem managers to have problem management at level 4, but you've never asked those people about their skills. So what we encourage is actually you assess the whole person. You want a complete picture of all of their skills, because even if they're doing the same job as the person sitting next to them, they will actually have a different set of skills based on the projects they've been assigned to, the tasks they've done, their previous role. So it's really important to get that complete picture, because if you've assessed the whole person, when you make that change, you already know the answer as to whether they've got that new skill that's required or not, and whether there's a gap that you need to address through training and other development activity. So the complete picture is even more essential because of the rapid rate of change.
And one of the interesting things is that when it comes to the role descriptions and the changing needs of the organizations, when we mapped my profile that I did in the self-assessment to just a role that we picked from the list, your assessment was that I see that you might have the ability to do this, but you might get bored. So it's not only it's not only technical or
no,
specific.
It's not.
So can you a little bit go into how the skills framework actually considers these very human aspects of would he or she get bored in that position versus do they actually have the technical and very specific skills needed?
Yeah, so Sophia is currently on version 8. It's been around for over 20 years and it's updated roughly every 2 to 3 years because new skills emerge and so on. So in version 8, we have one part of Sophia that talks about the professional skills, and we have 121 professional skills. And each of those skills are described at one or more of the 7 levels that we have in the framework. So believe it or not, that's something like 485 different combinations of skills at a level. But there's another important part of Sophia, which is called the generic levels of responsibility. And this describes 5 characteristics or attributes: autonomy, influence, complexity, knowledge, and business skills. And embedded within those are quite a lot of behavioral factors. So team working, the ability to influence people, the ability to communicate, all of those things, collaboration, all of those things are actually embedded in that part of Sophia. So when I look at a profile, I can see maybe the job I'm interviewing someone for requires autonomy at level 3. If I can see from their self-assessment that they already are used to practicing autonomy at level 5, I might think, are they going to enjoy that role where their autonomy is lower than they're used to? So that could indicate to me that perhaps they might be overqualified in some ways, even at that generic level around their responsibilities, before we even start looking at the professional skills. And they might get bored, they might move on more quickly in that situation. It tells me a lot about them, and I can have a better conversation with them at interview.
So these human skills, you mentioned that IT is often comfortable with technology. but they might be less comfortable with people. Do you want to speak a little bit about this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think all people try and stay to their comfort zone sometimes, especially when they're lacking an understanding of an area. And often technology people are very comfortable with the technology. So we're happy to take on difficult projects, difficult tasks to implement technology. But actually, perhaps we're often less comfortable with the people, the skills, how people feel about what they do. And we just don't have the experience in it sometimes. And therefore, you can tend to avoid it in favor of something that you're more comfortable with, which is the technology. And the trouble is you cannot ignore it, because no matter how clever we are with the technology, we're actually completely a people business. We need people with the right skills and experience to gather the requirements, to design the solutions, to build them, to implement them, to operate them and support them. All of those things require the right people with the right skills, no matter how clever we are with the technology. So every time something changes, whether that's launching a new service, improving a process, a task in a sprint, whatever it might be, there's always a people and skills view of that change. And we can't afford to ignore it.
So it's quite interesting, because when faced with a problem that is new and might feel uncomfortably complex or outside of this comfort zone, mm-hmm. We talked about templates a little bit, and do you see this as from a skills framework point of view?
I think people are looking to find an easy way to do things. And it's quite natural for them to reach out for materials that are out there. Is there a template? Is there a framework? Is there a methodology that's going to help me do this? And there are templates, of course. When it comes to things like job descriptions, there's over 600 templates of different occupations and jobs and roles in the organizations around the world. You can see them from UK government, Australian government, you know, everywhere. There's lots of different sets of them. But the trouble is that actually no two organizations work exactly the same way. Even if you go into the same organization and have two people with the same job title, they don't always do the same things, and therefore they don't always have the same skills. So templates, I'm always slightly cautious about. If you use them appropriately, they can be useful, but don't assume that you can pick up a template that's been created for another organization and just use it in your organization. You at least need to ask the question, how does my organization work? How do we do things? And does that mean actually we need to add a couple of skills in here or take a couple of skills away? So an example I give you, business analyst. I had this in an organization recently. Two people with the same job title, business analyst. One of them spent all of their time gathering requirements and writing business requirement specifications. That's all they did. The other business analyst did the same thing. They gathered requirements and wrote business requirement specifications, but they also wrote the acceptance test criteria for testing the solution that's designed against those requirements. They also contributed to the business case. So actually their skill profiles look different, even though their job title was the same.
And so if we look at this, that the same profiles might have different skills, how different is every organization? I mean, we might think that there is this typical hierarchy in the IT and you have different levels of people. How do you see sort of the organizations there, how varied they are? And what it means for skills and what kind of people should be in those organizations then?
Every organization is slightly different. You will find that some of the templated roles, some of the standard process and that will work reasonably well, but they should always ask the question, actually, how do we do it? And always expect to make some tweaks. They might not be large changes. They could be using 80% of the template and that might fit them perfectly well, but they've always at least got to ask the question. Don't assume it's going to be the same. often that question is really easy to answer. Yeah, okay, there's a little bit of difference. They actually, on our service desk, we also do application support, but on, you know, on some service desks, they don't. They just look after logging and routing the instance. They don't, they hand over to another team that does application support. So just understanding how the organization works and therefore which skills are needed in each role.
And maybe this then reflects back on what we talked about earlier about the changing requirements and changing skills and the Absolutely. Ability of Sophia to be able to capture both the current role and the future role.
Yeah, and that's what we at Skills TX, we focus a lot of our time on making it easy, not just to capture that first skill inventory or the skill profile of the individual. Excuse me, coughing. Let me have a sip of water there. So it's not just about capturing it in the first place and creating the roles and creating the skill profiles, but it being really easy to update them whenever there is a change that happens, because the changes do come quite regularly. You know, people will develop a new skill because of a project they've been allocated to, and you want to capture that. So you want to make it really easy for them to click the edit button and update their skill profile, so that they've got a current baseline, but also so their managers and the executives in the organization can see a true picture of the whole skill inventory. And then you also want to make it easy for those managers to edit and update a job description if the requirements for that job change.
That's interesting, because one of the aspects we have discussed with, for example, Antonina Klimtsova, and then in the latest episode with Mark Smalley, is the that value of the services provided is only valuable if the recipient of that service perceives it as such. So, yeah. So there are the skills in the IT team that need to service the people in the organization. And this is something that we have seen at Happy Signals can be quite difficult sometimes. And many of our listeners are practical people wondering, how do we then use this skills framework? What can we do to actually do our work better so that we can create better experiences, a more suitable IT service delivery to the people using those services? So what practical advice can we give at the end of this podcast now to the IT leaders and practitioners that are listening?
So first of all, I guess some reassurance. This has been done before lots of times. There are lots of organizations doing this, and some of them have made some mistakes, and some of the accepted best practice now is based on learning from those errors and those mistakes. But there's quite a history of doing it. So that means there's actually support for doing it well the first time. So you don't need to fear it. You cannot avoid the people and skills piece. So you've got to do something about it. The being practical, the first thing is answer the what skills do we have question. You know, where are we starting from? And that can be done really easily. You did your own self-assessment in Sophia. Depending on your level of experience, if you're a new starter in the industry, that might only take you 10 minutes to do. If you're a 20-year veteran, you're going to have more skills, so it might take you 45 minutes to an hour. But really, somewhere between 10 minutes and an hour to capture your current skills, and that you only have to do that once. Everybody can do that. If you give them a couple of weeks to do it, to fit it in around their other commitments, they can do that. So even before you've defined what skills you need, it's a bit like satellite navigation. If I want my satellite navigation system to give me a route somewhere, it needs to know where am I now? Where am I starting from? As well as where do I need to go? So all we're doing in that first question is saying, where are we now? And that can be done really easily through self-assessment. Self-assessment isn't perfect, but if you give them a bit of communication, a bit of guidance on how to get a good, accurate self-assessment, and the way you ask the questions, the way we've embedded this into the Skills TX tools, it gives you a pretty accurate self-assessment, and also has the benefit of people having a sense of ownership of their own skill profile, which is important, because when they leave work at the end of the day, they take their skills home with them. If they leave your organization, they take their skills away permanently. So give them that sense of pride in their own skills, allow them to self-assess, but then check that data. You know, a manager can have a review with them and check they've got a consistent interpretation of the framework. You can even get in Sophia assessors. You can have your own assessors trained. You can have people like me come in and assess some people if you have some difficult cases. But just take that time. You can do it in a few weeks. Just build that skill inventory. Everybody has a skill profile. Then, so that's practical. You can do that. You can sign up for a self-assessment as you did and do it straight away. Your organization can sign up and get all of the organization to do it. And then the second thing is just take a view on the skills that you need. So for most organizations, that would be taking their existing job descriptions and role profiles, asking the question, are they up to date? Do they reflect what we need now and into the future? And then map those to Sophia. And again, the tool helps you do that. And that gives you your baseline data. And then just encourage people to keep that up to date, because that's how they're going to be given interesting work, by us knowing what skills they have and allocating work that's appropriate to their skills. And that's how they're going to get a better development opportunity with their managers as well. They can have a better conversation because it's based on knowing where they're starting from and deciding where they need to go next and planning the most appropriate route, which will be their development tasks, might be training, might be experience, might be shadowing, coaching, whatever it might be. Lots of different tasks, perhaps, but at least they're having a focused conversation and they can have a nicely prioritized development action plan.
That's a really good way to finish this off. So how can people get in touch with you if they are interested to learn more about the Sophia Network and the services that you provide?
Yeah, the best place to start is skillstx.com. We've got a contact us page on there. There's a lot of information about Sophia, about how you approach skills assessment. If you want to know how good your organization is at doing skills management already, there is a digital skills management maturity assessment that takes about 10 or 15 minutes to do. It's completely free. So you can do that on behalf of your organization, find out where you are and get advice on how you move forward to where you need to be. So that's for the organization, but also as an individual professional, you can register and you can do your own skill assessment as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for having joined us today, Matthew. And as we always wish at the end of each episode, we say stay happy and stay safe. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you like this episode, giving the podcast a review helps others find this content as well. You can also visit our YouTube channel or our learning center at happysignals.com for some more video content. Join hundreds of like-minded IT professionals who have passed the free IT XM certification course on itxm.academy.